Truth is not always welcome. Beloved Pallas Athena's Address, May 23, 1953. Beloved children of God walking the way of earth, I greet you and bow before the majestic power of the God beat in your hearts, and before the sacrifice entailed by which every one of you voluntarily chose incarnation upon this shadow planet, offering to guard and guide and protect the evolution endeavoring to rise to their God estate. Long has been your journey, faithful has been your service, and great shall be your reward. I now awaken within you the remembrance of the power that is within the sacred fire, power which you have consciously drawn through your own heartbeat and wielded, by which entire continents were kept free from disease and shadow and pain, and the disintegration that now accompanies the removal of the soul from the earth. More than one of you has held the balance for an entire continent through the use of the sacred fire. All of you have known the freedom and protection that is within the majestic presence. It is time now that you awaken from the consciousness of your separate selves and draw that sacred fire, concentrate its power, endow it with your love, and send it forth for the redemption of this earth. I come in answer to each of your heart calls for truth. Do you know the concentrated power within the calls required to part the curtain of the great silence wherein some of us have chosen to abide for centuries of time? I am here because of your light and your love and your fierce and loyal and dauntless determination to know truth. I am one of 12 beings privileged to be the spiritual court of the mother of this system, the beloved Vesta. My sisters have been more welcome upon the planet Earth than I, for there is not a heart that does not want mercy, nor a soul that does not want peace, nor a life stream that does not want love. A limited few timidly call for justice, a limited few for purity, but oh, dear hearts, how many want truth when it is uncomfortable to the pressure of one's own concepts, feelings, and opinions, although truth complemented by the comforting presence of divine love is the power by which man shall become free. Oh, the brutal frankness of the outer self determined to ram truth down the throats of other life streams. Such a one has much to learn, but when there is the kindness of the Holy Comforter within the feeling body, truth may be presented in a way that conveys assurance, conviction, and comfort to the individual. That is why we, the Maha Chohan and I, represent the two facets of the same great flame. In the early ages before the mist arose from the minds and hearts and feelings of the people, I abode within the heart of the Temple of Truth, where all who chose to do so might consult me. Although I wore no garment of flesh, it was easy to discern my presence because there were no shadows between the sense consciousness of the harmonious selves evolving upon the planet and the perfection of our octave. The governments flourished as well as education, art, science, and religion, because each life stream was held within the presence of truth and guided by his own divine presence in his individual affairs, and in national and international affairs by myself, and the evolution moved forward in very great harmony and happiness. With the closing of the great Lemurian age, this association with us and the beauty resulting therefrom began to dim. The creation of mankind's own choosing began to enfold the life streams, and in the mists of forgetfulness, truth became veiled. On Atlantis, some of you were sufficiently true to the principle of life as to maintain temples to the goddess of truth. There, I was enabled to manifest to a chosen group of prepared, reverent, and dedicated life streams who, in turn, carried the word of truth to others whose own creations had blotted out, so to speak, the vision of our realm and its inhabitants. You have heard Serapis tell how the great hierarchy warned the priests that Atlantis was about to fold her veil around her and sink beneath the waves. And those blessed ones who had guarded the Temple of Truth made preparations, along with others, to carry the flame from that altar and the sacred documents which had been carefully transcribed and which contained within them the results of many of our conferences to a place of safety. Slowly passed the years, nothing happening in the outer, and the people began to murmur in themselves that the priests and priestesses had deceived them, telling them falsehoods, and so they slipped back into their old ways until finally came the night when all were notified to proceed to the boats and, in company with their own chosen priests or priestesses, endeavor to arrive at a place of safety before the cataclysmic action would churn the ocean into such a boiling sea that no boat could survive. Beloved Hilarion and a group of his Chelas took the Flame of Truth across the ocean through the Mediterranean into Greece. They were among the few who arrived in time and knelt, even while Serapis and his group were kneeling in Egypt around the ascension flame. I stood in the atmosphere as the Flame of Truth burned in the brazier, which they had carried from the Atlantean temple, and the faithful ones bowed to the ground in gratitude to life for survival and the honor of preserving the Flame of Truth. The secret documents were then placed in secret archives, where they will remain until man is poised enough in his own God presence, when they can be brought forth again for the illumination of the race. Some of these records unfortunately burned at Alexandria, but many made their way into the Far East and into Tibet and China, where they still remain. Ever grew that veil of human creation, even while the smoldering embers of truth were guarded by a faithful few who incarnated again and again and again. At Delphi, when the priestesses were able to contact the Spirit of Truth, some of that flame enabled those early Greeks to proceed on the path of righteousness. But the more the creation of the human enfolded the life stream, the less the individual cared to know the truth. Every man, woman, and child created of himself and in himself a concept which became his God, one that was comfortable to live with, one that carried vicarious atonements, one upon which he could place the results of sins of omission and commission. And thus, in a state of self-hypnosis, the race continued to move about, and I, the Spirit of Truth, was compelled to withdraw. However, there have always been the few who chose to walk alone up the Mount of Attainment and endeavor to pierce through the clouds of their own concepts, to wipe the mists from their sight, loosen the wax of heedlessness from their ears, and endeavor to understand and know truth. Lord Buddha, for 7 years, raised his consciousness hourly, daily, first through the veils and shrouds of his own thoughts and feelings, a painful process in itself, and then through the one-pointedness of his concentrated love, up, 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 upward, through strata after strata after strata of human creations. As his consciousness was lifted from the lower and heavier atmosphere, which was filled with the effluvia of man's thinking, he came into a strata of more light wherein abode purer spirits, and many a lesser searcher after truth has been content to stop and abide there, feeling it was his goal. Such ones returning spoke of the heavens with the streets of gold and the cherubim and the angels and the heavenly choirs, and for them it was the ultimate, and they spoke truth. But for him, he said, it is not enough. In that individual silent pilgrimage, living in the heart of the forest, protected by the invisible presence of God himself, He raised his consciousness higher and came into the realms of the temples and the beings who had earned the right to live in the higher mental bodies at night. But that was not enough. Many have returned from that realm and have become messengers of the word, and they have spoken truth, and many have been their followers, and they have said, "Lo, this is truth, this is the ultimate." And for them it was good, because it was all the consciousness could absorb at a given time. For him, he went onward and upward until he came to the divine realm, where ideas and thoughts of God himself were pulsating in the ethers. Here, too, some few strong sons and daughters of men have stood and witnessed the perfection of the realm of ideation and have returned filled with enthusiasm and fire and have said, "I have found truth." And there were among the men and women of earth those who responded and rejoiced with them. But the beloved Buddha said, "No, it is not the ultimate." And finally, he came to the heart of love, the great presence of the Father, Mother, God. And placing his head upon the bosom of the Father, Mother, he knew that love was all. And when he returned, he did not speak. No longer was it required to say, "I have found it," for he had become that love. Do you see, my blessed ones? Oh, the arguments, the fighting, the physical force and the actual murder that has been committed in the defense of truth. The fiery patriots of Muhammad, the great crusaders, and in the present day, the zealots of every religion crying aloud, "I have found truth." I come to you now and I say to you, will you not be truth for my sake? 300 years after the beloved Jesus finished his ministry, in a certain great city in Asia Minor, almost the entire feminine population gathered and engaged in a physical fight, throwing cabbages and other vegetables at each other in an argument over who was the third person of the Holy Trinity. Today, perhaps, it is more subtle, but it is no less ridiculous. Beloved ones, when you feast with all the power and attention of your feelings on the defects appearing within the life streams you encounter, you are not then embodying the consciousness of truth. It is not truth. Please feel that with all your heart and soul and spirit when you see any manifestation of ill health, imperfection, distress, and the countless number of limitations to which the human mind is heir. Your business is to see and be perfection. All of the law, dear friends, is imbalance. There is no purpose in being like some of the blessed ascetics of the early ages who rushed from the initiations of worldly living into the cloisters to escape observing the idiosyncrasies of the rest of mankind. Mastery lies within reach of the individual who can observe imperfection and not allow rebellion, hate, resentment, and depression to churn within the feeling world, but who can, within the heart of the sacred fire of which you are the guardians, call and firmly and powerfully assert, "It is not true." Call for the manifestation of truth within that life stream. Do you think for one fraction of a moment hundreds and hundreds of God beings would have denied themselves the glory and freedom of nirvana and remained in the shadows of such creations that I would not describe them to you if we tied our attentions to the discrepancies manifest through the outer selves of mankind? You think you are sensitive, dear hearts, through your limited senses, through the small spectrum which your physical sight allows you to observe and the very small octave in which your hearing perceives the sounds of the third dimensional plane. But when you have the senses of complete freedom and you can hear the sounds of the inner bodies and yet remain within that calm peace and demand that God be revealed through the distressed life stream, then indeed you become ourselves in action. How do you believe the Master Jesus was enabled to render the service which he requires each of you to render? Because he refused acceptance of the appearance. Judge not according to appearances, he said again and again and again. Oh, let us set this law into action, you who have for thousands and thousands of years known the power of the sacred fire, awaken. Rise out of this consciousness of separateness and wield the power of the sacred fire to set yourselves and others free. 40 life streams united in cooperative service could redeem a city. Dear friends, you cannot play with this law in this hour of planetary crisis. You are dealing with fire. Oh, precious ones, it is not just to give you a few hours away from the grind of your daily life or to give you a spiritual opiate to make the course of your life pilgrimage easier that we come. There have been books written from the beginning of time, from the Upanishads and the Vedas to your testaments, but it is to bring our feeling, our conviction, our love, and to endeavor to stir within you a desire to become that which you can manifest. I would not speak to you of something miraculous which you could not attain. That would be cruelty. Any more than you would tell a child that he could accomplish something that was beyond his talents or capacities. We never present an idea for manifestation that we have not carefully deliberated, and with much contemplation and invocation looked over the life streams chosen for their potential ability to serve our cause. It is a beautiful sight when a being desires to bring forth a new movement, to see that being presented to Vesta, who vests him with the power to bring that movement forth, or that cause, or whatever it may be, and then, in cooperation with certain ascended master sponsors, he goes through the seven spheres, and looking at the glory of the causal bodies abiding therein, he asks for the assistance of certain ones who are prepared to help him. You see, I am the godmother of messengers, yes, all of the messengers who carry the word of truth, because no matter how limited its expression may be, it carries part of my life through it. And when the beloved Vesta invests the energy of a life stream into a cause pertaining to the carrying of truth to mankind or any evolutionary scheme, then such a one must respond. When people like the Lord Buddha and the Master Jesus carried the word of God forth, they, through their own endeavors and efforts, had pierced into the highest realms of light and into the heart of heaven. They carried back firsthand the results of their experience in their own consciousnesses. But when the mankind of earth signify a desire to know truth and, as you have done, magnetize the ethers until the veil of silence had to be parted, the life streams who, of themselves, are not able to rise into the heart of the Father, and yet are invested with the great responsibility of carrying the word of truth to the people, must be particularly blessed, because they must draw down truth into their own beings, and while evolving their own consciousnesses, they give forth the word to others. It is a voluntary task, dear ones, for if we had no one to give and to carry the word, where would the people of earth be? So I ask you now to bless our messengers and to bless each other, for all of you within this endeavor are truly messengers of God, and remember that as your own life is used in spreading the word, and as you are unfolding within yourself the use of the sacred fire of purification, so also are they on whom you look and whom you serve in this hour. Pallas Athena.